What an intense movie. Yeah, you want your Legos back? Thank you for letting me borrow them. Well, good morning again. My name is Sean McCracken. I'm the lead team pastor here at the church at Whistling Pines. We are so glad to be starting this series. It's called Jonah and the God of Second Chances. Each week, we're going to talk for 5 weeks, go through the four-chapter book of Jonah. In fact, if you would turn to Jonah with me, it's going to take you a little while to find it probably, because in most of your Bibles, it's actually just 2 pages long. It's nestled safely between Obadiah and Micah, and I'm sure that helped many of you. There's no shame in looking at the table of contents. So if you will turn to Jonah. But each week we're going to talk about how our God is a God of second chances. If I were to go around with a microphone and ask each one of you, I guarantee every one of us could tell a story about how God has given us a second chance. Probably a third, fourth, fifth, and sixth chance as well. God is faithful when we are not faithful. And so we're going to celebrate that and talk about that. This week I'm going to talk about running from God. Why did Jonah run from God? Why do we run from God? Next week, we are going to talk about the calling that God has on each of our lives, both the general call on our lives as a Christian, but also the specific call that he has on our life and how often we run from that and how God will even give us a second chance for that. That calling, that gifting that he's put in your life, it was for a reason. The third week, we're going to talk about the message of God. What is it that God had Jonah to tell the people of Nineveh? And what is it that God was telling to Jonah himself? And what is he saying to us? What is the message of God, this message of reconciliation that he has given us a part in? The fourth week, we're going to talk about prejudice. How some of our prejudices in our lives have destroyed relationships or caused us to not have relationships at all. And God can even give us a second chance from that, not just of forgiveness, but for unity. And then the fifth week, we are going to talk about anger. Anger has destroyed many lives, many families, many marriages. And Jonah was a very angry man, and we're going to talk about that. And guess what? God gives us a second chance with our anger as well. So, are we in Jonah? I want to read Jonah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for the port, and paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. As we're reading this, I'm sure you can see the Lego characters and remember it. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish." Verse 7. Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" Verse 9, Jonah answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it was my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Verse 14, then they cried to the Lord, Jehovah Lord, they cried to Jonah's Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you pleased. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Basically, the whole ship was instantly converted. Verse 17, but the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. I want to talk about how we run from God. And first, I want to talk about the great city of Nineveh that Jonah was called to go to. He was called to go to and tell them that they were going to perish. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. Assyria was Israel's great enemy. At this time, it's believed that Nineveh was probably not only the capital of Assyria, but the greatest city in the world with the most population and the most power. These were a ruthless people. Again, enemy of the Jews, enemy of Israel. They had settled in the promised land, and here is this Nineveh, capital city of Assyria, that was always trying to persecute the Jews, persecute Israel. And now God is telling one of his prophets, Jonah, to go to this city, Nineveh, and tell them of their great harm that is going to happen to them, that they were going to be destroyed. What is your Nineveh? Each of us has a Nineveh. A Nineveh. A Nineveh. A Nineveh. Thank you. Thank you. I'm here all week. What is God telling you? So Nineveh we will represent as what is God telling you? What is God telling you to do? Where is he calling you to go? What is he calling you to be? As a father, as a mother, as a parent. Who is he calling you to be? What is he calling you to do? Where is he calling you to go? How are you to spread his name? That will be our Nineveh. So as we talk this morning, I want you to not just think of Jonah as somebody running from God and was thrown overboard and this great fish or whale or big sea animal, whatever it was, swallowed him up. And that it was a great story, one that maybe you saw with felt characters in Sunday school when you were growing up. What is it to you? What is God telling you to do? Jonah 1:3 again said this, but Jonah ran away from the Lord. He ran away from the Lord. This is not just my interpretation of the scripture. This is not just because he happened to go the opposite way, and so therefore we assume that he must have been running. It says very clearly that he chose to run away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. That was his purpose. Now notice, it wasn't just his purpose to not go to Nineveh. His purpose was to not only disobey God, but to go the opposite direction, to go away from God, to run from God. Why do you think he ran from God? Why do you run from God? Why do I run from God? If you think about the posture of running, Charlie could show us a lot about running. You're running and there's different distances. And so maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, I'm here today. You know, I'm here most weeks. I read my Bible occasionally. You know, I'm a part of a life group. I worship God. I'm not running from God. But the reality is many of us are in different strides. Some of us are on a full-on sprint away from God. Some of us are kind of just jogging. Some of us have just started. We're right at the starting line, and we're deciding to go against something that he would have us do. I think one of the reasons that Jonah ran from God was rebellion. Rebellion is when you choose to disobey. There was a movie with James Dean called Rebel Without a Cause. Sometimes you don't even have to have a cause. You just decide that's something that isn't for you. And you willfully choose to disobey. You or I, when that happens to us, we're in rebellion. When we run from God and we choose to do so, it's rebellion. I believe he was also self-absorbed. I believe probably this is the greatest category, if you will, if we were to categorize when we run from God. It's because we're self-absorbed. We're so consumed with ourself, with our feelings, with our comfort level, with our fears, that we just look inward. We don't look at anything else. We pursue our own desire, our own agenda, our own interests. It's easier that way. Perhaps this person isn't on a full-on sprint. They're just a leisurely jog. But make no mistake, they are going against God. They're going away from God. They're running from God, whether they realize it or not. You cannot be self-absorbed and God-absorbed at the same time. You cannot serve two masters. You either serve God or you serve yourself. You may not have a shrine in your house where you have a pentagram on the floor and you're worshiping Satan, but if you're worshiping yourself, it's the same thing. I too have been guilty of this. Or apathy. Maybe Jonah just didn't care. He had a lack of interest. It was just something that he didn't want to do. We find out later in Jonah, as we're going to talk about in the next 4 weeks after today as well, that Jonah knew what God would do. Jonah knew that God, because he knew the character of God. Let's make no mistake, Jonah was a prophet of God who had a relationship with God. Jonah is mentioned in 2 Kings with giving a people a prophecy. He was used before. This wasn't his first rodeo. It wasn't some stranger that God came to in the middle of the night and told him to go to Nineveh. It was somebody who recognized the voice of God, but chose to disobey it anyway. He heard the voice, but decided to disobey. With us, sometimes we're just apathetic. We just don't have a concern for people. If he's telling us to go to Africa, if he's telling us to go next door, we just really don't care because it doesn't fit into our schedule. You know, and we look at it, we're not bad people. We're not wishing ill will on our next door neighbor. However, we don't have any interest of going over there either. Do we realize that that too is running from God? May not be a full-on sprint. May just be a leisurely jog. But we're going away from God's purposes for our lives. Running from God could be immediate. That's when you choose. Just as Jonah, I believe Jonah, it was immediate. Now, maybe there was something going on in his heart and his soul before that we're not aware of. But we do know he made an instant decision. God told him to go this place. He went the opposite direction. It was immediate. And oftentimes in our own lives, when God tells us to do something or we're confronted with this great temptation, our running from God can be immediate. The scary thing, I believe, is when it's gradual. In Christian circles, it's called backsliding. Have you heard that term before? It's just a gradual sliding back. My 6-month-old daughter, Leah, cannot quite crawl yet, and it's killing her overachiever father. But she gets up on all fours, and she rocks back and forth. She knows what to do with her legs. In fact, I can hold her up by her arms, and she knows how to walk. I mean, she can't hold herself up, but she knows what to do with her legs. She hasn't quite figured out what to do with her arms yet. So basically what she does is she rocks back and forth and then flings herself forward, and then boom. And then she acts like she's skydiving for a little bit and then goes back down and does it again. She gets around the floor. She scoots. And I think sometimes that's what we do as well. We scoot away from God. And because it's so gradual, because maybe sometimes we take the time to skydive, we take the time to worship, we take the time to come to church, we're not realizing that we're further and further and further away from the presence of God. Because it's gradual. That's scary. Probably one of the scariest scriptures in the Bible to me is multiple times when it either says it outright or it alludes to, they did not realize the Spirit of God left them. Samson was one of them. That is scary. How could that be? Probably because it wasn't immediate, it was gradual. They scooted away. And I think sometimes when we're running from God, we haven't maybe figured that out, or we know better than to do that. We scoot away. He went to Tarshish. Now, the interesting thing about Tarshish is that it was the exact opposite direction from Nineveh. Remember, so if Nineveh represents what God is telling us to do or be, then Tarshish represents being away from God. Tarshish was far, far away. In fact, in Scripture, it's argued that when Tarshish is used, it just means far away. That there may not have even been an actual place called Tarshish. So it's far away from the promised land, far away from the ideals of Scripture, far away from the ideals of who God is and his character in Jonah's life. Far away from his people. You see this even on the ship that he boarded from Joppa that was going to Tarshish, that all of them called out to their own God. It was not like Israel, who had the God of Israel, the God of heaven and earth, Jehovah God, our God that we serve. They had many gods, or they had no gods. And it was this culture. Make no mistake about it. What Jonah did was very calculated. He went the exact opposite direction, and he went to a place where there was no God, where his voice was not heard, his voice was not proclaimed. What is your Tarshish? What is mine? Our Tarshish could be a lot of things. When I was 18 and 19 years old, actually, my Tarshish was relationships. Probably with most of us, it's the same. It could be a romantic relationship. It could be just a friendship. It could be hanging out with the boys, hanging out with the girls. That's what happened to me. And I didn't go full on sprint. It wasn't immediate. It was gradual. And there was places where I got a pretty good jog going on. I got a good sweat from running away from God. When I finally realized, hey, I've already made this decision, I'm just going to go. But like Jonah, God pursued me. Like Jonah, God wants to pursue all of us. So maybe it's relationships in your life. You either start dating, or maybe even marry this person, or you just start hanging out with them at work, whatever it might be. And they're fun to be around. They're not axe killers or anything like that. So they're okay, right? You start acting like them. You start hanging around them, the things that they talk about starts to become appealing to you. And it kind of sucks you in like a vortex. Please hear me. I am not saying we should not have unsaved friends. We very well should. In fact, his disobedience was to go to a nation that was about to be destroyed to tell them about Jesus. So we must do the same, and we must have relationships. However, we cannot sink down to their level. We need to pull them up to ours. And if we're not able to, if they're pulling us down, escape. Don't run from God, run from that. Relationships can pull us down. It can be our Tarshish. Our own interests and agendas. It can be a great interest. It can be a great agenda. There could be nothing wrong with it. Nothing sinful in and of itself. It becomes sinful when it takes the place of God. It becomes sinful when we start backsliding, when we start scooting away, or maybe even running away from God. It's not always comfortable to obey God. In fact, let me drop a bombshell on you guys if you didn't know that. It's almost always uncomfortable when God tells you to do something. The easy thing to do is to run. And go to Joppa and get a boat and go to Tarshish, whatever your Tarshish is. Cares of this world. Jesus tells the parable of the sower, and he talks about how the seed was sown in different types of soil, and one of them was along the ground, and it says that the weeds came and choked it. And then when he interpreted it, he said the cares of this world choked the word of God out. Cares of this world can choke us out, can be our Tarshish, the very thing that maybe we run to because we think we have to give it all of our attention, all of our efforts, all of our energies, when in fact it's pulling us away. We find ourselves running from God instead of, with the cares of the world, running to God. When we don't want to change our behavior, we like what we're doing. We like the sin we're committing. We like the lifestyle we're living. We like the element we're drinking or smoking or ingesting in some manner. We like what we watch. I don't want to change. That may be the quickest route to Tarshish for us, being away from God. And then finally, the very thing that captured Jonah. We really don't want to be on mission. We really don't want to be on mission for God. When God tells us to go to Nineveh, the great city of Nineveh, our enemies, and we say, no, we're good. I'm going to go the other way. It's more comfortable there. I'm not going to have you hounding me when I go there. So I'm just going to go over here and live my own life. We don't want to be on mission. I'm there a lot, unfortunately. And I know some of you are as well. Jonah found himself on a ship heading that way. This morning, I wonder how many of us find ourselves in the proverbial ship heading away from God. And maybe today you came in and this is one of your skydiving efforts, like my little Leah, where you kind of take a break from scooting away and you kind of just free fall and you think, if I just stay put, I'll be okay. I won't slide backwards. But we forget that if we're not going forwards with God, we're actually going backwards. So what do we do now? We're on this ship going to Tarshish, our very own Tarshish of our choosing. What do we do? What did Jonah do? Jonah, first of all, took ownership. He said, it's because of me. I did this. It was because of my decisions. It was because of my sin. It was because of my rebellion. I am running away from God. He took ownership. He took responsibility. I think we need to do the same thing, don't we? We need to take responsibility and say, you know, it was my choice. It's because of the things that I'm doing. It's because of my lifestyle. It's because of the people I'm hanging around. I need to do something about that. And he said, throw me overboard. And we kind of need to say that to our captain of our ship that's going to our very own Tarshish. Throw me overboard, I'm out. I'm done. I'm sick of running from God. I don't quite know how to get back to Nineveh, but I know how to get out of Tarshish. I'm going overboard. Jonah prayed. In the belly of the fish, God is always going to send a fish, a giant fish, figuratively speaking, into our lives to swallow us. It might be a circumstance. It might be something where we just finally hit that wall. It might be something excellent that happens to us, and we realize the God of the universe just graced me to be allowed to have this. Therefore, I'm going to serve him. Make no mistake, though, when we're running from him, he pursues us. And he wants to get our attention. With Jonah, he got his attention by being swallowed. And in the belly of the fish, in Jonah 2:2, Jonah prays this, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. The same God that I'm running away from answers me and answers you. There's a psalm that says, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I go down to the depths, you are there. We cannot truly escape God. Oh, we think we do. We think we've outsmarted him. We think when we arrive in Tarshish that he's not there, but he's everywhere. And you are his chosen one. And he's going to pursue you. He is going to reach out to you. Are we going to answer in the same way that Jonah did? From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. I put myself here, and you listened. I was unfaithful, but you're faithful. God pursued him. God pursues us every time. Please make no mistake about it. You may not always feel it, maybe because you're in a dead sprint away from him. Maybe because he lifts his hands away, his protection. Dare I say his presence away for a season. But he longs for you. He longs for me. Our God is a God of second chances. I don't want to just end it with, and Jonah doesn't end with this, this rebellious prophet of God who knows how to distinguish the voice of God, who's been given this great privilege of carrying the word of God to other people, runs from him. God gives him a second chance. Jonah's delivered, and guess what? God calls him again. In Jonah 2 and 3, the same exact message comes to him. And he doesn't say, now get it right this time either. If I was God, if you were God, that's probably what we would say. Don't do it again, numbskull. God is so loving. He delivered him, and then he called him again. The prodigal son, found in Luke 15. Beautiful story of a young man who asks for his inheritance and goes out and with prostitutes and with other things, he squanders all of his money. And then in the midst of, the only job he could get was feeding pigs, which was completely opposite of what an Israelite should do. And he finds himself feeding the pigs pods and longs to eat those pods himself. Comes to his senses, Scripture says, and realizes it's better to be a servant in my father's house than doing this. So I'll go back, and basically, I will disown myself and just ask to be his servant. On the way, what does it say? The father ran towards him. We might be running away from the father. He's running towards us. He embraces him. He calls for a robe. He calls for a ring. He calls for the calf to be slaughtered and to have a celebration. Because his son was once lost, but now he's found. He was once dead, and now he's alive. Could I have the worship team come back up? Peter, the very man who walked with Jesus, one of his close disciples, denies him three times. Willfully denies him three times. Jesus warned him he would do it, and he still did it. Just as, on behalf of Jesus, I'm warning you, you will run from God. I will run from God, and we're still going to do it. Denies him three times. Jesus reinstates him, asks him three different times, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my lambs. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord, I love you. Take care of my sheep. Do you love me? Yes. Yes, I love you. Feed my sheep. Let's learn from Jonah. Let's learn from his mistakes. But more importantly, let's learn from our own mistakes. I don't care if you're 5 years old here, you've already run from God. You already have something to look back on. You already have that experience. You already have at least an inclination of what your Tarshish is, the place where you're away from God. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be away from God anymore. I don't want to be away from his presence, and I know you don't either. Let's run to God. Let's not run from him. Will you stand with me? I'm going to pray, but I want to also invite the response team to come up, please. I want you to respond to this message. God wants you to respond to this message. First and foremost, stop running. If that's you, stop running. Stop scooting. Stop taking Sunday morning skydiving breaks. You're scooting. Stop it. It's one way to respond. The most important way to respond. We have people up here that love you and would love to pray for you. If you just need somebody to agree with you in prayer, respond that way. We have communion tables set up both on the left and the right. Communion represents what Jesus did for us. And as often as we do that, we do show his death until he returns. We do it in remembrance of him. Or respond by worshiping the God of second chances. He is worthy to be praised. Amen. Father, we thank you for the second chance. And Lord, we don't want it to happen, but Lord, we thank you for the third chance too, because we know we're going to mess up. We thank you that you're faithful when we're not faithful. Lord, help us to stop running and scooting from you. Lord, we want to feel your presence. We want to live in your presence. In Jesus' name.